Good morning, friends, and welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. We are thankful to have the opportunity to bring to you, after 30 years of broadcasting, the reassuring message of God's free and sovereign grace. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Pray as we go forward together this morning into God's Word. Please stay tuned for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Good morning. Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. It's good to have the opportunity to visit with you again. For those of you who are tuning in again to our broadcast today, we're thankful for our regular listeners, first-time listeners. We encourage you not only to tune in today, but each Lord's Day at the same time. For over 30 years now, we've been broadcasting the glorious truths of the message of salvation by the sovereign grace of God. And we've done it not in our might or strength, but in the help of the Lord. And so to that end, we want you to pray for us today that God would see fit to bless us as we come together around the pages of His glorious Word. I want to pause at the beginning, though, and thank you for your prayers. Those of you who are listening and were able to attend the Florida Fellowship meeting recently, two Sundays ago, we're so thankful for your prayer. The Lord certainly answered prayers on behalf of the meeting. There was a great anointing of the presence of God's Holy Spirit, a manifesting of His presence, His Holy Spirit, which is always there, but we seek the manifestation of it. Men were poured out as they preached the gospel of grace to God's pilgrims and strangers in this world who were fed, they were refreshed, energized by the power of the Spirit, and we're so, so thankful as we received help for our pilgrimage in this often unfriendly world in which we live. This morning, we want to be very careful to ask you to continue to pray for Broward County, Florida. There is, of course, still great upheaval and turmoil in many lives that were so horribly impacted by the murderous work of a young man. We're certainly thankful that he was apprehended. We pray that justice will be served, but most of all that God's healing grace would enter the lives of those that have been impacted by that horrible deed. I have noticed, I've discerned since that act has taken place that there seems like a dark wave of unrest among the youth in our nation has taken place, that somehow that evil deed was a catalyst for other dark deeds, as there have been many additional threats received by many schools and school districts, striking fear into the hearts of many families across our nation. Let us pray. Please pray. We know that God hears the prayers of His people, and that the effectual, fervent prayers of God's people avail much as we beseech the throne of grace, that Satan would be bruised underneath our feet, and that we could all live in peace with God and all just men, as much as lies within us is. Please pray specifically to that end, won't you? Now we're going to ask you, if you would, to turn your attention to God's Word as we go together, and we're going to speak this morning with the Lord's help on the subject of the zeal of the Lord. That's our subject, if God will help us. The zeal of the Lord. There are great, glorious lessons about the truth of grace that's contained in this short but powerful phrase. It's used three times in Holy Scripture. The zeal of the Lord, just three times, and in all three places, it's used in connection with the salvation of God's family. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 31, The Word of God says, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this, shall deliver them." In Isaiah 37, verse 32, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape, those that are delivered out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this, shall deliver them." And then, of course, Isaiah 9 and verse 7, which so many of you Bible readers know. Isaiah says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." That is the increase of the government of Christ. Isaiah sees it prophetically over 600 years before it manifests itself. And he said of that government, he said, "Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom it shall be ordered, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Those are the three times in the Word of God that phrase, "the zeal of the Lord of hosts," is mentioned. Think about creation. Creation was a great and glorious work of our God. The triune Jehovah, by the mere word of his power, created all things. He made 10,000 worlds and filled space with such glorious orbs that their dimensions stagger the human imagination. It's no small work to make this world in which we live. With all of its splendor and beauty and the majesty of it, its magnificence in its minute detail and its abundant glory, with all of its order and stability, the morning stars could well burst forth into singing as light first shone upon the planet God called Earth. But I find nothing about the zeal of the Lord in connection with creation. The Lord did it all. He created this universe with great ease of infinite wisdom. In his infinite omnipotence, in 6 days, he finished it all. And we see the wisdom of God, but not a zeal. Creation displays the power of our God, but not the zeal of the Lord. There is incredible, boundless wisdom and power in God, that all that he created is but a drop of the bucket before him. All that he created, Isaiah said, is just the small dust in the balance when it's weighed in his scales. And he's upholding, the upholding of all of these things, the upholding of the cosmos, it requires the power of omnipotence. But I don't find anything in the book of God, any connection between the zeal of the Lord and the upholding of all things by the word of his power. "He that made all the stars of heaven and called each one by the name he gave it, is infinitely wise and infinitely great in power. Calls them by their name, Pleiades and Orion. They were hung in space by the Almighty, and they are governed by him." You remember Job, the Lord speaking to Job, he asked him, "Canst thou loose the sweet influences of the star Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion?" Job, do you have that kind of power? No, they're governed by God, by the power of his word. But in all of his governance of the cosmos, we find nothing in them that awaken the zeal of the Lord. When the angels of God were created, we're not told, there's nothing said about the zeal of the Lord in connection with those pure and holy creatures of the Almighty. When he created Adam, the first man, the highest and noblest of his earthly creation, and when God placed him in the garden, even when he formed Eve out of Adam's side and brought him to be his wife, we read nothing about the zeal of the Lord in connection with our first parents. and in the kind and benevolent providence of God, and all the wonders of providence wrought upon the earth, how gently, how easily Jehovah performs them. Look at that splendid work at the Red Sea, that work which God himself seems to have selected as a masterpiece of his incredible skill and his power. Even in heaven they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, at the Red Sea. Moses and the Lamb, they're singing about it. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider. He's thrown into the sea. And how did he accomplish that great and stupendous work? Moses said, thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in her mighty waters. There was no stirring up of his zeal, just the tender breath of his mouth, and it was all done, and Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the middle of the sea. But when we read in the book of God about the salvation of his chosen family by the doing and the dying of his own dear son, three times we read, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. To have a people forever bound to him who's the source of all goodness, bound to him by his obligation of love, to have a people for himself as his own peculiar treasure, a people who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The thought, if you'll permit me to use such language, seems to have awakened in him the zeal of the Lord of hosts to perform it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the fervor of his love, the fire of his grace, the zeal of the Lord of hosts is devoted completely and utterly to the salvation of his elect, but Christ. The Lord God from eternity before ever the earth was made purposed that his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, would come into this world and take into union with himself our own nature. That in assuming our nature, taking a robe of flesh on him like us, he would bring in everlasting righteousness. That in our nature, without sin, he would suffer and die for our sins, to satisfy his justice and put away the guilt of all of his chosen. And by that power and grace, he would make his redeemed new creatures. By the power of the Spirit, they'd become new creatures in Christ. And in that union, there'd be an everlasting union of life between us by the new birth, making us his children by experience. The Lord Jesus Christ partaking of our nature in incarnation and then making us partakers of his nature in the new birth. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts would perform that. It'd require his zeal. It'd require the fervor of his love. It'd require the fire of his grace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is devoted to destroying the serpent, to having a people that would be his own. That's exactly what the New Testament tells us that the Lord God has done for us in the amazing and glorious narrative of the gospel. It requires the zeal of the Lord of hosts to do that. It requires his fire and his fervor. This could not have been done by the mere omnipotence or just the wisdom of God. All of the attributes of the triune God must be brought to bear and put into exercise to accomplish this great work, The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Everything that God is in his ineffable nature will be brought to bear for the salvation and the redemption of his people. All that God is, all of his glorious attributes, are subsumed under the umbrella of his holiness. God is the implication of all of his glorious perfections, and we call all of his glorious perfection his holiness. And God gathered his holiness, all that he essentially is. God gathered himself unto himself, and it created and inspired holy zeal. And in his holy zeal, God begets a people to himself and brings them to himself. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. That's the reason we sing that hymn, Amazing Grace. It's amazing what God has done for us. God, what a great reason this is for thanksgiving and praise to our great God. Our great God is so infinitely wise and gracious that he is able to overcome the doom and the gloom of our circumstance. And he's able to sovereignly put down the horrible blight of sin and destroy the destroyer, death, and to pronounce eternal woe and misery on our great adversary, Satan. But it would require the zeal of the Lord, all that God is, to do it. The old writer said that divine wisdom's found a way whereby the sinner might not only escape being miserable, but that he should be happier than before he had sinned, the first man, Adam. He would be happier than he would have been, even above his happiness in the Garden of Eden. Can you imagine such a thing? That is, that Christ has not, in his zeal of salvation, the Father in his zeal, the Holy Spirit in his zeal, all of them in their zeal in saving us, they've not just carried us back to where we were in the bliss of the Garden of Eden before the fatal power of the tempter had ever been felt. They've carried us back to a much greater place than that. They've carried us into the paradisical realms of God himself. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the redemptive work of Christ, have brought us into everlasting glory, into eternal dignity, so that one day we will be able to stand in the presence of God as his zeal has rendered us just as lovely and perfect as the Son of God himself is. Sinful man is brought into a nearer union with God in the person of Christ, our substitute, than we could have ever known had we remained in our original state in Adam. Isn't that amazing? It's incredible. It's mind-boggling. Only the zeal of God could have done that. Now, let me say, in making that point, I'm not saying that it was God's will for Adam to disobey him. The nature of disobedience is that it is disobedience. It was not the revealed will of God for Adam to sin, to disobey him, and to plunge his family into wreck and ruin and misery. But my point is that the zeal of the Lord of hosts is so great that it not only redeems us back to where we were in Adam, but it carries us to a far greater place than our first father Adam could have ever carried us himself. It's amazing. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has done it. One day, this love that the zeal of the Lord of hosts has brought to us, we're going to experience it in perfection. But even now, the love of Christ that constrains us, that something Adam in mere innocence and the angels of heaven could never know. Oh, my friends, Paul said, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, listen, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has made Christ to us everything that we need. The strength of this world, Paul said, couldn't do it. The wisdom of this world, Paul said, couldn't do it. The mighty of this world could not do it. But the zeal of the Lord of hosts has given us all of the wisdom of God, all of the righteousness of God, all of the sanctification, all of the redemption of God that we need. And he has done it in such a way through his zeal that we can only glory in him. It's not the effort of man that's done it, but the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it and has performed it so that we'll glory only in God. The zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the fervor of his love, the fire of his grace, brought Christ into the world in our flesh, the wonder of incarnation. The zeal of the Lord of hosts brought in everlasting righteousness for us by our Savior's obedience. The zeal of the Lord of hosts brought the immaculate Son of God to Calvary. The zeal of the Lord of hosts bruised him and wounded him and laid the chastisement of our peace upon him. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, though, did not leave him on the cross or in the grave, but the zeal of the Lord of hosts rose him from the grave and seated him upon the throne, raised him for our justification, and seated him in glory so that he might reign there forever for our intercession, so that he might save us unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, the zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed it. He would not be deterred until he had accomplished it, beloved. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The zeal of the Lord of hosts brought that to pass. Jesus Christ born into the world, and the government of this world shall be upon his shoulder. The governance of the universe will be given to him. He will reign as Lord of lords and King of kings for his church. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to perform that. The increase of his government, the peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it. He's going to establish his rule in this universe, and he is doing it right now with justice from henceforth and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He's reigning. He's ruling today. God has given him to be head over all things to the church. Paul tells the church at Colossae. And he is ruling this universe for the good of his church today. He's putting down kingdoms. He's promoting kingdoms. He's putting down authority. He's raising up authority. He's conquering our enemies. The enemies of the church, he's sustaining us in this world, ruling and governing, delivering as it pleases him. And he does it driven on by the zeal of the Lord of hosts for his flock. The zeal of the Lord of hosts hath performed it. So what does that mean to you and I? You remember in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, there's a little statement. It says this, that he must needs go through Samaria. John tells us that the Son of God willfully chose to go into that cursed place and to build back hope in Jericho, a cursed place filled with cursed people. The Old Testament prophecy was, cursed be the man that rebuildeth Jericho. The Lord Jesus Christ goes back and he rebuilds hope in Jericho. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why is it? Because he had a lost lamb and sheep. Sure, she was a part of a cursed race. We were all from a cursed race. But it doesn't matter how sick and wounded, how bruised, how despised and how destroyed they are. If they're one of his, he's going to where they are. He came into this cursed world. He must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because the zeal of the Lord of hosts demands it. The fire of grace, the fervor of his love demanded that he go and fetch her from her lost and ruined condition. That's what he's done for you, child of grace. In his zeal, he would not be deterred. So what is our response? May you and I be motivated by the zeal of the Lord of hosts this week. May we move out. May we serve him with a greater zeal and a greater fervor than we ever have previously. As we see his zeal for us, may our zeal for him be ignited in the days and weeks ahead. May the Lord richly bless you all as my prayer. For Christ's sake.
As we bid you farewell today, please remember to tune in next week to this channel at the same time for the Gospel of Grace broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by the McClenny Primitive Baptist Church. You can receive additional information about this ministry and the doctrines of grace at www.mcclennypbc.com or by calling 904-259-7806. Please pray for us. And until next week, may the Lord richly bless you all is our prayer.